Hi, I'm Dalvet Quince. One way to help manage type 2 diabetes is to regularly exercise. My exercise program can help get you into a routine that works for you. Keep in mind, managing blood sugar also takes the right
diet. Hi, I'm celebrity chef Franklin Becker. Ever since I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I've adapted my cooking style without sacrificing flavor. If you want to learn more tips about diet
and exercise,
visit mytype2transformation.com.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
This is Spins Fully Charged, Recharged.
Welcome to Spins Fully Charged,
Recharged
with Emma, Damon, Ashley.
Let's go.
Hello there, and welcome to Fully Charged, Recharged.
Oh, welcome in, darling.
We are here, and I'm trying to think of any news, lads. It's quiet, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I literally didn't leave the house, and it was my intention. I went to Lidl after I left work, and I got home. I got into a pair of tracks bombs. I said, I'm not leaving the house until I go to work tomorrow.
And that's what I did. Yeah. Did you sleep all right, even though you weren't out in the world that much?
That's what I
normally worry about. It's like, if I haven't done something, will I be able to sleep?
I actually woke up at like 3:30.
Ah, yeah.
And then I found it hard. I woke up a few times after that. But like, I also got like a proper 2-hour nap in the afternoon as well, which was so nice.
Can I tell you something mad, actually? Because I woke up like pretty much, you can see here, like a good few times across the night.
Oh, yeah.
Just woke up in a startle. And you know what it was? There's a radio station in our building called News Talk. I'm sure you're aware of it. It's a very big, very serious radio station in Ireland. And in my dreams last night, my job was to drive the news. As in, not speak on the news, was to bring the presenters on air to read the news and the sport.
Oh.
And I kept fucking it up.
Okay.
The sport was going out where the news was meant to go out. People weren't getting on air at all.
You were in charge of pressing the buttons,
essentially. I was in charge of getting the news reader from their studio onto the radio on air. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't understand News Talk system. It was really archaic in my dream, even though it's probably more modern than what we have.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. And they were all getting so ratty with me. I kept getting all these emails. It was some night shift I was covering and I couldn't do it. And then there was this girl from my primary school. I'm sure she's a lovely girl now. She's grown up a lot. This was primary school. She was a literal child. But she was one of these kids who had like a problem with everything and always like assumed everyone had a problem with her, even though no one did. You know,
okay.
This kind of thing. There was always, she was
drama.
A bit of drama. And in my dream, that little girl who was a grown up in my dream was the newsreader who kept being like, you just won't let me get on air because you don't think I'm any good. And I was like, that's not the case. I just don't know how to work this bloody thing. And it was mad. And I kept waking up in a panic going, thank God that's not real.
Do you know how many dreams I have where I have to do your job of pressing the buttons on this show and I actually wake up in a sweat?
I do a show on Today FM every Sunday and I have so many dreams that I miss that show.
Do you? That you miss it?
I constantly dream that I don't make it in on time. Not for this show, but for that, because I do a lot of travelling at the weekend. Not often,
yeah.
Like not all the time. But like, I always dream I've had a car breakdown, I'm not going to make the show.
And in theory, you could sort of forget about it, even though you never would. But
and
yeah.
Another big recurring dream that I have, just to really bore the arse off you completely, if you're still with us, is the Leaving Cert dream. But in this dream, I say, and this I've had this dream multiple times, I say, I'm studying at the moment for the Leaving Cert and I want to do it again to get better points. But it's all these years later. I did my Leaving Cert in 2011,
yeah.
Right? So it's real time now.
Yeah,
I want to go
doing
back.
It now.
And I haven't studied. So right before the exams are about to go ahead, I'm like, no, sorry, can I please just keep my old points? I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it. Can I just keep
You're
what
gonna
I had?
You're going to lose your points.
I can't do it. It's going to be worse than what it was. Can I just keep my old points? And my old principal, Mr. Ring, Dennis Ring, is like, no, you're on the system. You need to go ahead and do the exams tomorrow.
Oh, no.
And I was like, please, can I just keep my old points? Almost like I was being cocky to see if I could do it better.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I realise I can't. Anyway, that's my news.
Can I tell you one dream?
Oh, please.
Sorry. Go I know on. Dreams are, everyone's like, dreams are so boring.
I think dreams are interesting.
Well, I've been watching Breaking Bad recently and in my dream last night, my dad was a secret drug dealer and I only
Billy.
Found out. And literally, it took me like probably 10 minutes after I woke up to convince myself it wasn't true.
I hate those ones.
Yeah.
Do you ever
so
see
weird.
Someone in the office or something and you're like, God, I feel like I hung out with them recently and you're like, no, I didn't. That was a dream.
I know. So strange.
Yeah, very
anyway,
strange.
That's all.
It is. Dreams are fucking mental.
They are mad.
So
what's going on?
I just want to wake up. Welcome to Spins Fully Charged with Emma, David, Ashley.
I think it's great.
Spins Fully Charged is on.
Good morning. What's the story?
Morning.
Oh, I keep putting up Dave's microphone.
Oh, I do see the little light go up and then
I
it come
know.
Off again.
And then down again.
Ah, bless him.
He'll be all right. Hopefully he'll be back with us at some stage this week if he's feeling up to it. What's the crack?
I think I'm making some progress in 2025.
Okay.
I do find December to be an incredibly stressful month, like many people, of course. And I find that in December, all I could do when it was like my turn to watch TV on my own was watch like the most brain dead telly. Like I was watching Selling Sunset. Like all I would do is sit down and put on Selling Sunset. Like I couldn't watch anything with substance.
Couldn't focus.
No, I just couldn't deal with it. And then last night, I completed a serious series.
Go on.
Where's my clap?
Oh, right.
Thank you. It's showing growth. It's showing, you know, we've graduated from the December stress and we're holding space for brain power. It was called Lockerbie. It's kind of grim, actually. I mightn't get into it. It's about a bombing. It's a true life story.
God.
But it's very good. It's on now. You can stream it with the Now Entertainment membership. It's really, really good. Colin Firth is in it. And there's a lot going on. And I said, now, this is a lot better now for the brain than Mary and Brie and Chriselle and the girls. So I was proud of myself.
And you started and finished it. So how many hours did you spend watching this?
It's only 5 episodes.
How long are they?
An hour, 40 minutes. So like...
Oh yeah, you gave it a good 3 or 4 hours. Like,
Oh yeah, come on.
I mean, it's January, like,
I'm not that good now. I'm still binging, like.
Dead right you are. You're with Emma, Dave and Aisling.
Oh, I must say I'm enjoying coming into work now in that little bit warmer air. Mm. Yeah. So obviously things were still pretty bad in certain places with the snow and stuff over the weekend, particularly in parts of like Tipperary. And I know a few park runs were cancelled in Tipperary. Do you know what a park run is?
It's a run in the park.
It's like, it's more than just a run in a park, but I suppose it's like this organisation where they're like free 5K runs that are all over the world. And once you're signed up to one, you can go to any one. And they're really, really cool and they're timed and all the rest. And they have them here and they've loads of them in the UK as well. And so in some of the park runs that were cancelled in Ireland, I had a look on their Facebook pages and they do the very standard stuff of tomorrow's run is cancelled, the ice isn't shifting and there's too much in too many places, it's unsafe for us, you know. Fair. A regular announcement as such. However, over in the UK they've been a little bit more crafty with their announcements, a little bit more sort of quirky.
Okay.
And somebody has compiled all of the different kind of ways that they cancelled the park runs over in the UK at the weekend and put it up on Twitter. And they're very funny. So it actually comes in like a big list. Mm. You can go onto the website and it's like cancellations. And like they just give like a very brief line as to why it's cancelled. So loads of them are just like weather conditions, like icy, flooded, whatever else. And then some people, as I said, were a bit quirky. So we have the Alexandra park run. I don't know where any of these are. They're all in the UK. And it says, cancelling because there's a 0% chance of staying upright.
Very good.
I thought that was fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ashburn Recreation Ground Park Run said the course was unsafe due to hungry polar bears in the area.
That's silly, isn't
it? That made me roll my eyes a little bit. I was like, oh, shut up.
It's definitely like a 52-year-old dad who's like, I'll give him a good one now. Where do you see this, Mary? I'll give him a good one.
Birkenhead said Torval and Dean were rehearsing for a comeback in the area. Do you know Torval and Dean, the ice skaters?
Okay.
They're the ones that like mentor everybody on Dancing on Ice.
Gotcha. Okay.
British Olympics.
That's not too bad.
No, I thought that was good. Yeah.
If you're not like me and you know what's going on, I'd be like, who's in the area? Why is it cancelled?
Yeah, but like that generation of Brits will be like, oh, Torval and Dean. Good one, Jim. Bug Hunter Waters is the name of one, which is a crazy name. And it said they were winterrupted by Jack Frost.
That's good.
Very good.
Winterrupted.
Well done.
Yeah, like that one.
Yeah.
Cannock Chase said there were Winter Olympic squirrels ice skating on the course.
Nah.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. Nah. And then Trentham Gardens said Pingu has taken up residence on the course.
That's okay. I like Pingu. Any Pingu reference I'm fine with. There's no problem. Mention Pingu and I'm good.
In fairness, the Brits did well there.
They did.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Right, I must pause proceedings this morning to inform you of the following death.
Oh, dearie me. Oh, me, yeah.
The divine Cherry Tomato Bridge in Drumcondra has departed this world.
To clarify, the bridge is intact this morning. Commute is normal, but the bridge can once again be known as Binns Bridge. The Shrine will always be remembered as Dublin's hottest attraction for a short few days during a cold snap in January. Similarly to the man who fell in the ice all those years ago, mystery surrounds the attraction with many question marks remaining regarding who initially scattered cherry tomatoes on a bridge and why.
Many indeed.
Nevertheless, bored students, weary commuters and chronically online humans in Dublin and worldwide will join in grief and remember the brief days that whole cherry tomatoes that were joined by beef tomatoes, ketchup packets, spaghetti and even a framed image of an AI-generated cherry tomato in a tuxedo allowed them a break from thinking about serious things. No flowers, please. And definitely no tomatoes. As always, condolences are welcome on 087 711 1038. You're welcome to join with us in grief this morning.
Terribly sad.
It's been a mad few days, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, weird start to the year.
We brought you this story on the show on Friday morning and we kind of thought, there's something funny going on that bridge in Drumcondra. And then, whoa, we had someone on the phone saying, yeah, there's loads of tomatoes here. I was watching from afar across the weekend. The story was developing and growing. Yeah. And sure, we were telling you yesterday, Ash, you were telling us about all the other things that joined.
Sure, it was mad. Like, I went down on Friday evening because I was in that area and it was just the originals, yeah, the original lads there, and they'd frozen, so they were kind of preserved. We all knew the thaw was coming and then this was going to kind of come to an end. Mm. But then, sure, we lost run of ourselves. It was about, there must have been about 200 tomatoes there yesterday.
Yeah.
And all the trimmings, as you mentioned, the spaghetti and all the rest. Got a bit ridiculous.
I think, I don't know what happened, because it does look like even it was cleaned up with council, because they were all just scattered down onto the tracks.
Yeah, it
underneath.
Feels like somebody literally came and just like wiped their hand across the whole bridge.
Some literal January version of the Grinch.
Yeah. Just oh my God, fully.
Not having it. I had to cackle though, RTE News went out yesterday.
Did they?
And they got some incredible chats with people who were at the bridge. Have a listen to some of these.
Today I was coming home from work and I just decided to stop and give it a look. I was expecting to see them on the bridge, you know, the cherry tomato bridge as it's known. It's a historical monument, but it's been vandalized and now the tomatoes are all on the track.
People pushed them off and people wrote their names in the tomato guts.
I walked 350 meters for this. I thought, okay, let's see the sacred tomatoes.
She walked a whole 350 meters.
I love how the first two people are American.
Yeah.
They're good spokespeople for things, for weird things like this.
But all the reviews and stuff online, I think some of them need to go into frames for the future because they were so funny. People literally landing in Dublin, you know, for a trip here, and their first stop in a taxi was bring us to the cherry tomato bridge.
It's a perfect location because it is the way into town from
absolutely,
the airport too.
Yeah, spot on.
Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, more fun, please. Do something else, will you?
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. Whoever you are.
Recharged.
Lady Gaga on the team up with Bruno Mars. That is Die With A Smile. You're listening to Spin and hope you're well this morning. We'd like to sort you out before 7:30 with a chance to win a pair of IMC cinema passes. Get yourself to the cinema. It is a perfect time to do just that, particularly in January. And we're going to do that via a game we like to call A Second at the Cinema. This is essentially where we play you a 1 second clip from a film. I know it sounds impossible. Well, it's at a 100% success rate whenever we play this.
I think we've had to roll it over to the next day once and make that clip a little bit longer, but only once. Every other time, it's always been the second that people can guess it from.
Again, this morning, the only person who knows what this movie is producer Callum. He's the one who picked it today. Myself and Aisling haven't a clue. So let's have a listen to the clip together. And if you know it, get in touch on WhatsApp. We're at 087 711 1038. And the word cinema will count as you having a guess. All right, just the word cinema is grand.
Like a flock of birds.
Ooh.
Flock of birds.
Like a flock of birds.
No.
Big no for me either as well, I mean.
Not a shock there. We're chronically terrible at this game.
Yeah.
It sounds old.
Yeah, it's probably one of the trickiest ones that I've ever done.
Right.
It's a film that I really like. That's not a clue because you don't know that.
I'm like, I don't know.
Great, that's helpful.
Is Taylor Swift in any movies?
She's not in this movie, but yeah, it is. It's not as recent as the
some
last
of the
couple
ones.
Of
yeah, it, something about his accent or something sounds like old.
And even the way it was recorded sounds funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It sounds like not the most perfect quality, which I love about those older movies. Okay, have a listen again.
Like a flock of birds.
And again.
Like a flock of birds.
Like a flock of birds.
I know what it is.
Do you?
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this.
Oh, she's wrong there now. Brilliant. yeah, she's writing it down.
She can't say it just in case. Oh my God, she's got it right.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. That is iconic.
Emma Nolan. Emma.
I was just thinking of the time and what could be described as that.
Okay.
And that was a guess.
Yeah.
That was just like a logic guess.
That's very logical. Like,
okay, let's go old. What could be someone looking up and describing them as a flock of birds?
But it's not actually that what you think of, but it does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, one more time.
Like a flock of birds.
I mean, if I can get this bloody thing, you can too. Trust me. Cinema in a WhatsApp right now to 087-711-1038.
Morning.
Like everyone else in January, I'm out walking the roads. Oh, yeah. I like what I used to look out the window, seeing my mum doing the quick walking with the arms flying out behind the back.
Are you using arms?
Oh, the arms are flying around.
The arms are out.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday evening, my housemate Emer was like, will we go for a big one? I said, yeah, go on. And we were both, the two of us, like, Jesus, I'm turning into my mum day by day. So we were doing really well. We were on about 6,000 steps. And then on the way back, she had to swing into Dundrum to pick up something. So that was grand. And then we were leaving Dundrum after we picked up what she needed.
Uh-oh.
And she said, what are you doing for dinner? And I was like, I don't know, I have chicken in the fridge there. It's going off tomorrow. So I'm going to probably make that. Do you want some? She was like, nah. Do you want to bring it to McDonald's? And I was like,
oh, I thought the word Zara was going to come into the mix here.
No, no. I was like, Emer, come on, we're on like 7,000 steps. Come on. We'll keep going.
No.
Come on, we're going to McDonald's, sorry. I said, oh, for God's sake. Well, that's kind of pointless. So we're walking it off as we go, aren't we? We go into McDonald's and we eat in. Double cheeseburger meal and 6 chicken nuggets each. Absolute and utter divinity.
Oh my God.
On a Monday evening in January. I know we're keeping track of our January scoreboard at the moment. I just lost a lot of points.
You ate out.
And it was a weekday.
Oh,
very
that's
poor
like,
behaviour.
That's like minus 12 points or something.
Yeah. And then I looked in and the entire walk gained me like 250 calories.
Which, gained you?
Sorry, as in the entire walk. Lost me 250 calories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As
which
in, yeah.
Clearly doesn't compare in any shape or form to what I ate in McDonald's. So there you go.
Oh, that's
this
so
worth
funny.
Trying. Tomorrow or today, we'll try and avoid it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, like, when you can just smell it and you're walking past.
McDonald's smells so good.
I actually
and
think
it's so familiar.
And they deliberately, I think, push it out.
Yeah, I feel like they have a spray.
Totally.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
And we're in the middle of a second at the cinema, the game where we play you literally a mere second of an entire full-length film. And as I said, it's always one on the show, which I think is pretty good going.
It is. And we're doing okay this week as a team, I would say. I knew what it was yesterday. You know what it is today.
Yeah, Dave normally is the movie buff on the show.
Yeah, the two of us are just smile and clap along how everybody does. It's getting into like serious cinema season for me. You know, everything
Oscars.
Is a competition in my life. So I set myself a challenge every year to go see the 10 films that are nominated for Best Picture. And usually, like, I look at the kind of predictions of what's probably going to be on the list, and I'll try and catch as many of them as I can throughout the year.
What are you even looking at the moment? What are those films?
Like Wicked.
You've seen that.
Yeah, but literally that's the only one I've seen off the list. There's a really good one called Anora, Concave, The Brutalist. There's loads of ones, and some of them aren't out yet, but some of them have come out already, and so I'm really behind because I've only seen one.
Come here, Kneecap aren't going for it's not Best Picture.
It'll be in the like foreign language category.
Gotcha.
If it does get
to that stage, yeah.
Which does like confuse me because I'm like, what if like the foreign language film is so good? I suppose like Parasite. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
That actually won Best Picture and it was in Korean. So
gotcha.
I think maybe if it's like so good, it could transcend the foreign language. But that's what it'll be in. So anyway, I have seen Kneecap, but it's not going to be in the top 10. So I've got a busy few weeks of cinema going.
Are you
going to
kick it off soon?
I think tonight we're going to go see one called Nickel Boys.
All right, cool.
And literally, I don't know anything about it, but I think it's going to be on the list. So I'm like, cool, must be great.
That's actually a good way to do it, you know what I mean?
It is fun, yeah.
I've never heard, well, you are a very rare breed, but like, I've never known anyone else to do it like that. But
and I'm also not a movie buff. Like, I'm not good at this game. I don't know what it is. I just enjoy the challenge.
I get it, girl.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the clip from the film we're trying to identify this morning. Very short, naturally.
Like a flock of birds.
I somehow managed to get this. Don't know how, but I'm going into the week delighted with myself. Keely is standing by. She thinks she knows. Hello.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right, let's try and get you sorted with a pair of IMC Cinema passes. Keely, this is the clip.
Like a flock of birds.
And your job is to try and guess what film that's from.
Is it Shawshank Redemption?
Shawshank Redemption.
That actually sounds very like
sounds a
that
bit like
style.
Andy. Yes. Isn't Andy the guy?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
like a flock of birds.
I'm afraid it's not though. Sorry, Keely.
I feel like you're in the right era though. Ish.
Thanks.
Cheers, gal. Talk to you later. Bye. Okay. Adriana's also standing by. What's the crack with you? How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, good form, thanks. Okay, this is the clip from the film.
Like a flock of birds.
Any idea what film that's from?
Jurassic Park.
You're saying Jurassic Park. Have you watched it recently?
It's my favourite movie ever.
Is it?
Yeah.
And what do you think is the context of the clip?
It's when there's a load of dinosaurs. They're kind of like running over a hill.
Okay.
And it's like they look like a flock of birds.
Oh,
wow. Okay. And when's the most recent time you've watched that?
Last week and the week before.
Oh, my God.
And have you seen all the spin-offs and everything since? Yeah, Jurassic World and stuff.
I have seen absolutely everything that you can think of.
What? You love it so much.
She's a dinosaur girl.
I love my dinosaurs.
Legends. Some people just love dinosaurs. I think that's cool. All right. Well, not much of a cliffhanger, so let's see if you're right.
Direction changes, just like a flock of birds evading a predator.
They're flocking this way.
They're flocking this way. You know, I never made it through that movie in full because I always get too scared.
I watched it when I was like 5 years old.
Nah, girl, no. I think I tried when I was about 8 and I've never made it to the end. So I was just kind of like, nah. I think there's some kind of memory I have of we're in some kind of like a, it looks like a greenhouse. I don't know. It's just a memory. And then they darn sort of start coming through and I was like,
oh. I haven't seen it since I was very young.
I'm out.
Adriana, is producer Callum here. Have you been to Universal in Florida?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you will absolutely love it. They have an entire Jurassic Park section and there's a roller coaster called the Velocicoaster, which is based on Velociraptors. It is hands down the best. I unfortunately can't give you tickets to Florida.
You just made her heart.
Yeah, it really sounds like I'm about to give you a holiday to Florida. It's not, but if you ever get the chance to, I've been looking to go twice. It is fantastic. You would lose your mind.
Oh no!
And while you wait for that epic trip, here's a pair of IMC cinema passes.
That's so much.
Cheers, Adriana. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Just like that, another successful round.
Imagine we had that power to be like, oh, you like dinosaurs? Here's tickets to Universal. Boom. Dabs.
How? That's when you make it, baby.
I know. In America. You'll get this thing that keeps me coming back.
Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning. Catch up on anything you missed from the live show right here.
Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Baby No Money and Rich Brian and Edna May on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling. We've just been playing a second at the cinema and the clip was this.
Like a flock of birds.
That, of course, was from Jurassic Park and Adriana was in touch. She won this morning. She knew it hands down and she is not only a Jurassic Park fan, she's a dinosaur fanatic.
Yeah, she's a dinosaur girl, yeah, as she said. And I know January is not really the month for matchmaking. That's more of a February thing.
Would you say?
However, we might have to start early because we got a message in from Dan who just said, ask that dinosaur girl, is she single, please? I'm a huge Jurassic Park fan. She could be my wife-to-be. Adriana, we don't want to put you on the spot. We won't call you back and ask you, but if you're interested, get back onto us.
We'll break all the GDPR rules and transfer your numbers to one another.
Yeah, exactly.
Because dinosaur stans deserve to be together and happy.
I'm pretty sure the EU said that if it's for love, you can break the GDPR rules.
I actually saw that too.
Yeah.
With Now.
Every future has a history. Stream Dune Prophecy with a Now Entertainment membership.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
I like it, yeah.
Just wanna wake up.
With Emma, Dave and Aisling.
I like it like that.
It's Emma, Dave and Aisling. Spins Fully Charged is on. Let's go.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Hope you're well. It's Tuesday. Poor old Dave, still not well, but hopefully he'll be back with us.
Yeah, we can't even say a date, the poor devil, but yeah, hopefully soon. But we do have to give you a very quick update on Dinosaur Gate.
Yep.
Welcome
to the show.
Yeah.
Hey.
Just a few minutes ago, we played a game of A Second at the Cinema. The movie was Jurassic Park. Adriana came on. She said, Jurassic Park's my favourite movie. I'm an absolute dinosaur girl. I love dinosaurs.
Self-dubbed as dinosaur
girl. Yeah, yeah. Quickly, Dan was quick off the mark and he sent in a message. He said, ask that dinosaur girl if she's single, please. I'm a huge Jurassic Park fan and she could be my wife-to-be.
It's exciting. Yeah. Potential.
We got very excited. And sadly, Adriana got in touch and said she's actually engaged.
Well, it's not actually sad. Like, I'm happy for her.
I am and I haven't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Does her fiancé like Jurassic Park as much as Dan?
I think she said her partner is a big dino fan.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what I was going to say was, as a fellow fiancé, I had to recently fill out a form for something official like insurance or whatever. And you know the way, like, if you're not married, you're technically on forms single.
Mm.
She's still single in my eyes. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Like,
she may have a ring, like,
yeah.
But, like, officially, what does the census say?
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do, right? If you fancy Aisling, message now. I mean, she's technically single.
Same rules apply.
If you like cats and you're a vegetarian and you like singing, then she might be your future wife too.
Now is your chance. We're narrowing the scope. And your radio presenter.
087-711-1038. I mean, she's technically single like Adriana, so yeah. There you go.
Well, I'm not single, but Adriana
is.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Looking forward to seeing what she does next. Gigi Perez, that is Sailor Song on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling.
All right, so it's been fairly well documented on this show that I play pinball, both for fun and competitive.
Of course.
Which makes me sound really cool.
Especially when you say really cool.
It is 100% down to my now fiancé Alex, who is pinball obsessed. So there was no way I could go out with him and not partake in the game.
You kind of got into it,
in the beautiful
though.
Game.
You don't dread it. Like, no, you enjoy it.
I do enjoy it. And I've actually gotten fairly good because Alex organises these pinball tournaments in Dublin every 2 weeks. And so I go to a lot of them. And then every time you play one of them, you get like a ranking. You get points that goes towards your ranking, okay?
And I'm going to join the crew in 2025.
You should.
I'd like to give it a lash.
Make your mission. It's a very friendly crew. On Saturday, Alex hosted the first ever Irish Pinball Championships, which would decide the Irish Pinball Champion for 2025. And it was based off your points that you gained in 2024. So basically the top 16 ranked players in Ireland were invited to participate on Saturday. And as I am the highest ranked female pinball player in the country and number 9 in total, I was... comfortably qualifying for the tournament. And we had a great day. And we went down and all the pinball machines are in Fibber McGee's, which is like a rock bar on Parnell Street. And it's like it's a grungy kind of place. Everybody there is quite cool. They've all got tattoos and face piercings. And in addition to the event on the day, I have been trying to kind of get into writing a bit more like I used to do in college or whatever. And so I said...
You have a really good blog. Do you remember we discovered Aisling's blog on the show a few years ago? It was bloody brilliant.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
What was it called again?
World of Bon.
World of Bon.
And anyway, so I wanted to get back into this and I said, look, this is kind of a cool event. Maybe some newspaper might like me to cover it. So I sent a few emails and somebody picked it up anyway. So I was like, I'll write an article for the pinball tournament because the winner of it gets to represent Ireland at the World Pinball Championships.
Ooh, come on.
And they said, would you mind if we sent a photographer down to the event to get a few pictures for your piece or whatever. I was like, absolutely grand. This photographer, I think, was expecting, you know, like a warehouse with like 100 machines and 50 people and was a bit surprised when he arrived at Fibber McGee's and saw 5 machines and 16 people, but how and ever. I was also surprised because what I didn't realise was this wasn't really a shoot of the event, but rather a personal photo shoot of me with pinball machines.
Yeah.
Which went on for about 35 minutes.
Oh dear.
Right before the tournament started. The tournament was actually late starting because I was slung across the top of a pinball machine.
Were you forced
posing
to
for about a half an hour?
Pamela Anderson on a car vibes on a pinball machine.
Not quite that.
Fondling them?
No, but like sort of like My hands across it and my head down, like on the glass of the top of the machine.
Oh, you look like a weirdo, Ashley.
Oh, yeah. For the
Why
lighting.
Why did you do that? They put your head down there now and your palm behind.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's like, he wanted the light to hit my face, right? And another one was like, I had to pretend to play the machine, but because the light had to hit my face, I had to like stoop really, really low. So my face was like basically hitting the glass of the machine, which is not how you naturally play a pinball machine at all. So anyway, this went on for literally so long. The fucking bearded, tattooed, facial piercinged men at the bar in Fibbers are like, what is this one actually doing? There's like a massive light box and everything.
Oh, no.
It's a huge setup.
And they probably don't even realise it's for the paper. They probably think you're just an Instagram hun who brought in a big photographer to get photos with your pinball machine.
This is the worst part, right? So then other competitors start coming down, and these are who we call the bearded men, the very good players. They're like, Jesus, Ashley, is this for your Instagram? And they literally think that I've arranged for the paper to come to photograph me on pinball machines. And I had to go around to every single one of them after and be like, guys, just so you know, like, I was just like, it'd be kind of cool to write a story about the event. And then they were just like, can we bring a photographer? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it was just like all about me. Like, I swear, like, this wasn't like me being like, I want a personal photo shoot for the paper. It was literally
this
so
reminds me
fun.
Again, I only watched it again recently, you know, in Afterlife, Ricky Gervais is forced to cover all these mad stories in people's houses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, go check out this young fella who can play the flute through his nostrils.
Yeah. Photographer. It's exactly that.
Being like, okay, and just go down there a bit closer to the machine, Aisling. We'll get the light in your face. Okay. And then hug the machine and tell it you love it.
Yeah. And then he was getting
take
ones
a photo
of me playing and Alex like having to point out shots, being like, hit that one. And then poor Alex was dragged into it and he was mortified. But anyway, the publicity will be great, hopefully, in the
When's
end.
It? Well, where is it in? We all need to go and buy
the paper. I think I have to write it this week, so hopefully the next couple of weeks.
Which paper?
I won't say yet. I want to screen the pictures first.
Tell me the paper. Tell me the paper.
The Indo.
Aisling hugging pinball machines in the Indo. Get it up in the next billboard campaign.
Yeah.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
Now, naturally, breakfast radio, yeah. Kids in the car, yeah. Let's keep this more positive and not too serious, shall we? So what have you been peer pressured into? It's all because producer Colm faces potentially a very stressful day today. And it's all because of myself, Dave and Aisling.
Yes. And we have no regrets.
No regrets at all. It's actually a very fun thing that you peer pressured me into doing. So as you can tell, I'm not from these realms. I moved to Ireland in November 2017. I'm from a place called Nottingham in the UK.
Big English head on me,
right in the middle of England. And part of my personality is that I am a supporter of the football team, Nottingham Forest.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be very good in the late 1970s into 1980s.
Oh, were they?
Yes, they won two European Cups back in the 1970s and 80s.
Ever win the Premier League?
They have never won the Premier League.
Wow.
They've won the old First Division, but the Premier League started in 1992.
I think it's fair to say they were shite then for a long time.
Yes, they were terrible for a very long time. And then a couple of seasons ago, they got promoted into the Premier League for the first time in 20-odd something years. And they were dicing with death the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I remember.
In the relegation zone, could be going down, didn't know what was happening.
I've been working with you for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I know the struggle.
It's been stressful for us all, to be honest, Callum.
It's not been fun. But then something's happened this season where Forest are doing absolutely fantastic.
I'm even aware of this. It's such a great news story that this team are suddenly smashing it.
They are third in the Premier League table.
What?
They're joint on points with Arsenal. They're like 10 points above Manchester City, 17 points ahead of Manchester United.
Unreal.
They are absolutely flying. They have not lost. They've won, actually, 7 games in a row. They haven't let in a goal in the last 4 games. They have been absolutely flying. Yeah. But today is a big day for Forest fans, because tonight at 8 o'clock in Nottingham, Forest take on Liverpool in a top of the table clash.
What?
Which I can't imagine. Liverpool are 6 points ahead of Forest. Forest can get that gap down to 3 points tonight.
That's incredible.
I used to have a season ticket for Forest in like 2010s, 2011s, but when I moved over here, kind of had to give it up, and I try and get back every now and again, but the tickets are so hard to come by.
Especially at the moment when everyone wants to be there to support.
Everybody wants to be there.
They beat Liverpool before?
They are the only team this season to beat Liverpool in the Premier League.
So last week, just bring it back. This time last week, last Tuesday, producer Colin was kind of sweating in the corner, looking at his phone. We were like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I've been offered a ticket to the bloody game next week. And sure, I don't know, like, it's January and I want him back to work.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. It didn't take 10 seconds for the whole room to go, take the ticket!
tickets.
Are you mad?
You go, book the flight, take the ticket.
He couldn't even get a word in. We were like, this is history making, Callum. Imagine you're not there. Why are you even considering this? What are you doing?
You gotta go. You have to go. You have to take the ticket. And he was so peer pressured that in 3.5 minutes, he just went, oh, Jesus, I'm after booking the ticket.
It was actually when you were talking exactly at 8 o'clock. You during the news was playing, you were like, you have to book the ticket. You have to book the ticket. And as you were doing your bit at 8 o'clock, it was in my basket. The countdown was going like, you've got a minute left. And I was like, I can't even get flights back to the East Midlands. I've got to go to Birmingham and get trains. And I just don't know what to do. Yeah. But the three of you, Dave was here as well, kind of just looked at me and were like, you will be absolutely ridiculous to turn this down. And you peer pressured me into booking this trip back to the UK with flights, trains, and football tickets.
Which is today.
Yeah. After this show today, I have to leave at 11 o'clock to go to the airport.
Live
your life, man.
Loads of trains to get, people to meet. You have to drop off a bag at your mom's place.
It's so confusing.
You're off work tomorrow. You're taking an annual leave day on the 15th of January. It's all very stressful. However, it'll all be worth it. And sometimes those peer pressure stories lead to the best stories of all.
Yes.
So with that in mind, we want to hear from you this morning. What have you been peer pressured into doing? Keep it as clean as you can, please. 087-711-1038. That's our number.
Spins Fully Charged.
Recharged.
Asking you this morning on 087-711-1038. What have you been peer pressured into doing? We're trying to keep it light this morning.
Yes, I was thinking about this. I was like, definitely, I feel like college is a real time of peer pressure. But then I realised I was peer pressured on Sunday evening. So I went to a Kaylee in the Bernard Shaw. It's really cool. This crowd called Sheeby and Do Them. And they have like... they do like different Kaylee dances, and then you'll do like a Kaylee dance to like Chapel Roan, Hot to Go.
Cool.
And like they make it really fun. And they were doing a competition for a two-hand reel. And basically they wanted you to find like a pair and sign up to do the two-hand reel. And like I haven't done Irish dancing since I was like probably like 8. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they mentioned competition, everyone, Ash, go on. Before I know it, sure, I'm up doing a bloody two-hand reel with my friend with Brilliant. Like a bit of a freestyle in the mix. But I was like, oh, I'm such a sucker for these things. Like, I am an easy peer pressure.
Oh, yeah. So one person says, you'd be good at that. I'd say, I'm like, geez, I'm so complimented, I'll do it.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, I can't possibly not.
Larissa was on to us as well.
I am all into K-pop right now, and there is a big group touring Europe next summer. It's called Stray Kids. That friend of mine, we are like trying to get the tickets to anywhere in Europe. When I had 2 tickets on my card, and then my husband looked at me, he was like in shock that I wasn't buying tickets for my daughter. She's 4 years old. And he said, if you're not buying the tickets for her, I don't know what I'm gonna do. She needs to go with you for the concert. So yeah, in the end, we got 4 tickets to London. We were very lucky. Is going, like, I have a friend with me that is going, and her daughter as well, so, and all the family is going to London next summer.
Sorry, Larissa, it sounds like your husband just spoiled the fun for everyone.
Yeah, you could have had a class night out with your mate, and now you bring your little kids.
And now, he just wants a night off.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, he's giving hubby wants the house to himself.
Absolutely, that's what's going on there. You were tricked.
Yeah, you just got played, tricks. Larissa.
I remember, I'm going to go back a couple of years now, I think I did tell this story on the air at the time, but I was over at my friend Ave, and the plan was to just sit in. I'd only packed pajamas. We're just having a girly sleepover, watching movies. I even brought some skincare.
Oh,
it was
going to
be
wow.
one of those pathetic nights of like, I think it was just after the summer, and there'd been loads going on with festivals and stuff, and it was like, I can't wait to do nothing. I'd only packed a pair of knickers, a pair of socks, and my pajamas.
Yeah.
That was it. And along comes her sister, along comes her housemate, and sure enough, within 2 hours, it was, come on, we'll go to Coppers.
Let's just go to Coppers.
And
zero to
like,
a million.
No, I really don't want to. And I could just see the faces, and I just knew that I would spoil the fun if I didn't just come on. Right, that night she met her now fella she's been with ever since. if I actually stuck to my guns and didn't succumb to peer pressure, they may have met sometime, but not that night.
You could have ruined her life.
Isn't that mad?
She could have been a spinster.
She always says that.
Second use that word this week.
Standing by is Sandra. When have you been peer pressured into something?
So we do my friend's makeup at the time, do her deb's. So she was going to her deb's, and I was wearing my tracksuit bottoms and hair up and everything. I looked just beautiful. And she was like, my partner actually can't come today because he felt sick or whatever. So I have a spare ticket. I don't want that to go to waste. Can you come with me? And the bus was leaving in an hour. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I had my spare Debs dress. I had to put my makeup on. I had to do my hair. And I ended up going. And I had one of the best nights of my life.
Oh, stop! And I have to ask. Yeah. I just have to ask. Were you at that age or were you a little bit older going to a Debs?
So I was at that age.
Okay.
But I skipped TY at the time. So we were friends and she ended up staying behind.
Ah, so was it still your school?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Brilliant.
Just a year younger.
That is so funny.
Doesn't it just go to show for something like that, and especially at that age when it's so glam and you've the dress ready for ages and you've planned for your hair for weeks and it's all everyone talks about. Actually, throwing on a dress and throwing on a bit of slap
in an hour,
it doesn't matter. It's the best crack ever.
Oh, absolutely. Thank God I kept the dress.
Oh, good
on you. That is brilliant. Peer pressured into going to a Debs. That's a good one.
Cheers, Sandra.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a nice day.
Bye, you too.
You know, we always tell you the number to get in touch with us, 087-711-1038. And maybe you hear it so often it just goes over your head. But genuinely, reach out at any time about absolutely anything with us on WhatsApp. We'll see it. Producer Callum is a freak when it comes to WhatsApp messages. He sees everything that comes into the show. So if you've anything to get off your chest, by all means, do share. And I love how we're 2.5 years kind of into the show now. Not quite, but in around. And everyone's just getting super comfortable with us.
Okay.
Texting us like they text like maybe their ma or their friend or whatever.
Yeah.
And I love this. Aisling, this came in for you from Leanne.
Oh,
all right? You're not aware of this message that's come in to us.
I hear Aisling got engaged and I know she's fond of Mr. Plops, who she doesn't own, but I'm wondering would she like to own her own cat? We have a cat called Daisy who we fostered for a little while, but the family who are meant to take her don't have changed their mind. So Daisy is 2.5 and we have her if she would like her. We've all the stuff to go with her. Her food, she's got a play perch, she's got a litter box, her food bowls and a cat carrier box.
Lovely.
So I'll send you a picture, but if Aisling is interested and would like her, she is more than welcome to have her.
What do you fancy, Aisling? Do you want a cat called Daisy?
Oh yeah, drop me cat.
Just quickly,
oh my God.
Off the top of your head, do you want a cat called Daisy there?
Listen, was it Leanne?
Yeah.
As Leanne mentioned there, Mr. Plops is a cat, lives in the area, pops in every now and again. And I think Mr. Plops is kind of enough for me.
The Plops and the popping in and out suits you.
It does, because it means I don't have to like look after if I go on holidays or anything like that. And also, I don't think I'm allowed to have a cat. I'm in a rental apartment and I hide the crunchies every time the landlord comes over. So I don't think I'll be able to take Daisy off your hands, Leanne, but thank you ever so much.
Sorry, this photo's of Daisy. She's beautiful.
Is she?
So, yeah, she's...
Oh, no, actually, don't show me.
Yeah.
I actually don't
want to
see.
If you want a cat, reach out to us on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
That's sad that, you know, she's being looked after by Leanne and then the adoptive family have decided against it. So Daisy is currently a homeless cat and she's beautiful.
Stop.
Yeah, she's seen the photo.
Oh, she's so cool looking.
Oh, she's gorgeous, isn't she?
She's got like black with like gingery bits on
her. And she's got the most gorgeous eyes.
Oh,
if you're after a cat, get in touch with us. And to be honest, if you want to offer us up anything,
yes.
I like horses.
Lasers.
I'd be into horses.
Emma likes... Yeah, horses. David probably take a lizard off you.
Yeah. Tarantulas.
Food. Yeah. Always food.
Yeah, yeah. Or just any random musings that you have to share.
Thank you very much, Leanne.
711-1038. That's our number on WhatsApp. As I said, get in touch at any time.
Ready to go. It's showtime.
Fully Charged with Emma, Dave and Aisling.
Good morning. Emma, Dave and Aisling with you. Hopefully Dave back with us really soon and wishing him well. Still not feeling great.
Yeah,
sadly.
We miss Dave.
It's been a while.
Hope you're doing good. Something has changed in this building recently and I think it threw everybody for a loop when we all came back last week. And now it's really impeding my day. So when you go to the toilet in this building... You gotta go, like, you gotta use your fob to get out the door of the office, and then you kind of have to walk down this little corridor, right, to get to the toilets. And the women's toilet is at the very end, and the men's is just before the women's on the left, right? And we came back last week.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there were doors that we didn't even know existed closed in that corridor. So apparently there were two doors there all along that were always open. One at the very start of the corridor and one midway through
the
corridor.
They had a little door stopper on them, so you wouldn't even notice.
Oh, you didn't even know. I just thought it was a straight corridor.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally never saw them. And it's always been a very awkward corridor to bump into somebody.
Oh, you can meet Dave Moore from Today FM and you have to do the whole...
Hi, how are you?
You almost feel like saying you're off for a wee, are you?
Yes, because it's a bit too long to just get away with hi, how are you?
Yeah.
You kind of have to add another tidbit.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's even worse because you have to hold a bloody door for people. Mm. And I don't mean to name and shame, but producer Callum and I have been very in sync with our bladder this past week.
Mm, I've noticed that. You both go off at like 20 past six in the morning as well.
And
I'm like, what's going on with those two? They're having a secret chat.
And once or twice, I've actually done a little jog when I hear he's behind me so I don't have to do the whole awkward stand and hold the door so that I've cleared the door well before he rounds the corner.
That's totally fair.
And that's like this. We know each other very well, Callum, but it doesn't matter. It's like, even if it was my boyfriend walking behind me, I'd be still too awkward. It's just such an awkward place.
There is now four doors to get to the toilet.
It's ridiculous.
That's too many doors.
Oh my God, my arms are bits.
Now, I did notice on the doors it does say fire door keep shut. Those doors have been open since I've been working here, which is 7 years. So we're probably breaking a lot of fire room.
There was definitely some inspection had and a few words were had.
Yeah. Somebody's coming for a visit, I think.
That's the weekend and Dancing in the Flames. You're with Emma, Dave and Aisling on Spin 103.8. What is the story? Well, I did warn you a few minutes ago to give yourself time to process that the weekend is no more.
Yeah, I'm very stressed out about this. Need more info, please.
Well, I'll tell you pronto that the weekend is in the Saturday and Sunday is safe. You're in.
Oh, thank God.
I know. That was what you call a good tease, Ash.
Oh, my
a
God. I was about to cancel my trip to London. I thought I was going to have to work.
I'm instead talking about, of course, the artist we just played for you, The Weeknd. Looks like he's ready for a change. He's been kind of caught up in this trilogy of albums for the last few years. If you think that two albums ago featured Blinding Lights.
Yeah.
That did so well for him. And he's just approaching the release of the third album in that trilogy. But since the beginning of The Weeknd, he was releasing, as far as I'm aware, open to correction on YouTube under the name The Weeknd, right?
Yeah. Was Blinding Lights that album? Was that his first album?
Oh, God, no. There was many before then, and there was another trilogy way back in his early days.
Right.
I remember my friend in school being so obsessed with this guy, The Weeknd, and the early days, his music was very sultry, kind of dirty in many ways.
Right, and different vibe.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't this kind of electronic music feel to it at all. It was kind of dim and almost like kind of, I don't know, kind of creepy,
right.
I guess. And he always said on YouTube back in the day, I will never do this for a commercial gain. Ever.
Okay.
And when...
cut to.
And I remember my friend being so horrified by that she stopped listening to him because she was really part of the OG crew on YouTube.
Okay.
And he didn't even show his face for a long time. He was quite mysterious. But again, it was all being this character and he's played this character his whole life. So he's looking at going back to his name, which is Abel. And hopefully that will happen after the release of this album. He said about being The Weeknd, it's a headspace I've got into that I just don't have any more desire for. You have a person... Wait for this. Now for a load of rubbish. Then you have the competition of it all. It becomes this rat race. More accolades, more success.
Oh, stop.
More shows, more albums, more awards, and more number ones.
Tiny violin.
It just never ends until you end it. Right, so he's looking to maybe to get back to that eventually. I'm not sure.
Oh, God, he's not coming across well with that statement.
No, he's not. It's a terrible statement. Look, there's obviously plenty of other names he could go with. Why he went with The Weeknd, dropping the E and just the W-E-E-K-N-D, I'm actually not sure. But the potential there for Workday. Call yourself the biddy banker.
I actually like Workday.
Just say, call yourself Workday. Call yourself the biddy banker and just release a load of Irish trad. Call yourself Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I was thinking then about other celebrities and if they were to rebrand and to create a new stage name, a new persona, a new like name that you'd mention them on the radio as, what you'd go with. I think Sabrina Carpenter could do with something more sexy.
Okay.
The Carpentress.
Ooh. Carpentress.
And he goes, no, I like it. I think Post Malone could have a lot of fun and call himself Mailman Malone.
yeah.
He's right there and he hasn't really delved into it yet, but your name is literally like on post.
Yeah, it is.
Have a bit of crack.
On Post Malone.
Sorry, Post Malone right
That's
there.
Actually what we should be calling him over here.
On Post Malone.
On Post Malone.
Chapel Roan, Chapelicious.
tablet.
I was trying to get really into some kind of an alternative name for Hozier, because obviously he has that song From Eden, and he's all about it. When I think of Hozier, I think of good soil and good earth.
Yeah, and, well, it's like his new album.
And things rotting and growing again. Rebirth. Eden Rivers.
Eden Rivers. Oh, that's... If Hozier was to write a book, I think that should be his name. Eden Rivers. That's a very good one.
Eminem obviously has had Slim Shady. I think the comeback is obviously his latest album is called The Death of Slim Shady. He wants to write that off as well.
Okay.
Bring back Chubby Shady.
I was going to say Skittles. So Eminem.
Eminem Skittles. Very good.
How about Adele could be Laptop Beats? Adele.
Adele, like a computer.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Here's Chapalicious right now. You're on Spins.
It spins fully charged, recharged.
I don't mean to get a little bit serious on the show here now, guys, but I have a bit of a public safety announcement, actually. If you're somebody who frequents town, I have news for you. Since the 1st of January 2025, this city has become a slight bit less safe, okay? And I'm blaming the government.
Are you?
Yes. I think it's because of a new law that came into effect on the 1st of January that a lot of people don't know about. Allow me to explain. Last Friday, I was walking down Grafton Street with my friend, having a lovely chat. I had just taken a nibble of a delicious cookie from a new little cookie place called Cookie Boy on Stephen Street, which was lovely. And my friend was holding the kind of wrapper from her cookie, but the cookie was gone. The cookie was in belly. And the wrapper was just like a white bit of paper or whatever.
I get it.
And as we're coming down to the end of you, you're with me?
I'm with you.
You're with me? Because it's complicated.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So as we come to the end of Grafton Street, the most dramatic swoosh over both of our heads, and a seagull's wingspan clipped the top of my head. It was absolutely gross. I was like, get out of my hair.
Yeah, they're.
Okay,
flying and rats.
And they're so big that their wingspan managed to take the two of us with it. Clip the two heads. We both screamed.
They're literally like the size of little dogs flying around. It's scary how big they're getting.
However, luckily their aim isn't that good, because whatever angle it was hitting, he didn't get the cookie wrapper, which would have been irrelevant anyway. But I think he was going for the piece of white paper in my friend's hand.
Mm.
So we fucking swing back and a few people look at us, because it's kind of nearly skimmed another few heads on the descent. And as we turn, the seagull rounds and comes back up Grafton Street, and doesn't it swoop down and takes a big lump of a woman's roll straight out of her hand.
Wow.
She screams. Two more lads see what's going on and they swoop down, and it's carnage in the space of about 60 seconds on Grafton Street, and like multiple victims, and everybody's just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
We were really, really shook. Mm. And I know seagulls, like, whoa, seagulls are so aggressive. Like, everybody knows that, but I think they've gotten worse. And I think it's because of this new law that came into effect on the 1st of January that a lot of people don't even know about. Basically, because I live in town, it affects me. There's a new rule that you can't leave plastic bags out on the street, like businesses or residents, which is the way that most people in town have their rubbish collected.
Gotcha.
And you'll notice,
as in, you don't have a wheelie bin. How do you get it out if you live in an apartment and there's stairs and all the rest?
Exactly. And the new rules are that you have to have some sort of bin with a lid to put it in. And I think it's to stop people, but also I think mainly birds and seagulls, from ripping open bags, pulling the contents across the street. It's disgusting, but the seagulls are mad.
But just a quick question, sorry. So did you have to purchase a semi sort of wheelie bin to put your stuff into?
Well, this is a whole palaver, because we don't really have anywhere to put it. And also, like, the landlord was just like, oh yeah, sure, ring the bin company. And the bin company were like, ah, you can keep putting them out.
Right, okay. But you would see in the morning when we come into work, and a lot of people, obviously the councillor working really hard in the mornings, that you might not even realise, to clean the place up. But like at 6 a.m.
it's disgusting.
Crap everywhere from the birds attacking bins that have been left out. So I understand the incentive, but it might not be practical. And now they're starving, obviously.
And this is the thing, like, they just didn't think about this. Like, how mad are the birds going to get when they can't get their little midnight feed? 2025 has been a bad year for seagulls.
When I first moved here, I lived on a place just up Pierce Street.
Yeah.
And we didn't have wheelie bins. And I couldn't get my head around. I had to go to a Centra to buy a bag of three green bags.
Yeah, that's what I have to do.
To then put the bin bags in and then put them on the street. And I was like, this doesn't seem like this should be a thing to do. But, like, it's so conflicting because you don't want waste out on the street.
No.
But you also don't want seagulls hungry because that means they're going to come for you.
You don't want to keep your rubbish in your house for any longer than you need to. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's such a... Now I'm thinking of what a privilege it is to be able to put something in a wheelie bin.
I'm wishing I was in that roundtable discussion when they brought in that law because I would have had a lot to say.
Do you know
I would have been the spokesperson for the gulls.
What we need to do, you know, on a lot of the bins in the city centre, they have the little shelf for the return cans for people to take the cans rather than going in the bins. Maybe there needs to be a seagull shelf on the bins for a few like discarded roll bits.
I just think the seagulls should be at the sea. It's like it's in the name.
We're
get out of town.
We are kind of in the
I know
sea.
But you're too close. Go back up and get a fish.
I know we keep eating their fish is the problem and now they're eating our eggshells out of our bins and now they're attacking us and we're holding a piece of paper.
Well, you get Simon Harris on the phone there.
Yeah, I'll get him up now next few minutes. Anyway, be careful out there. It's dangerous.
Sam Fender and people watching on Spin with Emma, Dave and Aisling. We were telling you producer Callum was peer pressured into a big trip. He's heading to Nottingham today to head to the big match tonight. Obviously Nottingham Forest taking on Liverpool. And it just had me thinking there about that because when I went to the Sam Fender gig at the Three Arena, just looking around the whole arena, it looked like 50% Newcastle jerseys.
Oh.
Yeah, everywhere you looked was a Newcastle jersey.
That's another football team.
That's it.
And I was like, oh wait, I don't think he's from Nottingham or Liverpool. No, Newcastle. I got
and
it.
That's a jersey and that's a sports thing.
Yeah, and then sport is football and then Callum and go.
And Callum and then, has a jersey on.
Ah, great connection.
See, it's all about bringing it all together, guys.
Bringing it all together, making relevant points.
Absolutely. making things relatable.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like creating segues, making
Newcastle
connections and
Sam Fender and gigs.
Similes, metaphors and football. And Newcastle.
I'm really talented, aren't I?
She's so good at her job.
I've talked a lot in the show and I think you were at a Kaylee, as you said, Aisling, on Sunday.
I was.
We love a bit of trad. We really do. And it's back with a bang, I think, over the last few years.
Yeah, it's great.
And over Christmas, I got to enjoy not very famous trad bands. Instead, I went to a few local pubs and experienced some local trad bands.
Even
and what
better.
Amazed me was their names, i.e. what they're calling themselves, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I've compiled a list, because I've done a bit of research on this, on the funky and fun Irish trad names. These are people who maybe aren't playing the Olympia just yet, but are maybe big in Temple Bar, in other pubs around the country, right? So I want to play a game of real or fake with you, and I do think, just to say, these fake ones could already exist in some locality.
But you have made them up.
But from my research, I haven't been able to find them from anything I've found. And you know what I've noticed? A lot of these pubs don't declare they're like bands that play.
It's just like random group.
Like, tell us who they are. You know, it's kind of hard to find. Anyway, I'll walk you through this. Number one, real or fake Irish trad band name, The Hooly Horses.
The Hooly Horses. I'm going to say real.
Bad start. That is actually, in fact, fake.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Number two, The Tumbling Paddies.
I actually know The Tumbling Paddies. Heard of them.
I'm bringing my granny to see them soon.
That is a brilliant name. Yeah,
aren't they so good? The Tumbling Paddies.
So good.
Oh, we watched a few music videos of them. Anyway, yeah.
Is there many of them?
Oh, there's like six of them or something. Number three, The Cladder Curses.
The Cladder Curses. No, I think you made that one up.
Well done. The Rambling Itch.
The Rambling Itch. That's brilliant. I think it's real.
It's real. Would you believe the Rambling Itch?
The Rambling Itch.
Yeah.
That's so good.
The Whistling Donkeys.
I think it's real.
It is real. Well done. My sister went to see them in like Kerry last year. The Lounge Room Lizards.
I want to say you made that one up.
I'm sorry. I did the wrong one as usual on this bloody game. The Lounge Room Lizards are what inspired this idea in my mind. I saw them play in a pub in Dungarvan Christmas. They were absolutely
and they're
brilliant.
And they were a trad band.
They were a trad band, yeah. The Lounge Room Lizards.
So funny.
The Emerald Echoes.
The Emerald Echoes. You made that one up.
I did make that up. Well done. The Pogue Mahones.
Ooh. I'd say there's probably a band called the Pogue Mahones.
Not from what I can see.
Oh, you made that one up.
And then what about this one? Just very simply, the County Wexford Trad Band.
It's gotta be.
It's real.
How to extra chat.
And finally, the Paris Swinging Lovers. Oh. As an Irish trad band, the Paris Swinging Lovers.
Well, based on your slow delivery and the fact that I feel like that would be a stupid one to make up, it's probably real.
You're absolutely correct, it is real. How creepy is that? Although I really am dying to see what they're all about. If they're playing in a pub soon, I'll be following them on Instagram to keep an eye.
Are they based in France?
No, they're Irish.
Oh, weird.
But I can see they're Irish.
Get ready for the sound. Emma, Dave and Aisling in the morning.
Fully charged.
Recharged. Love this? Catch Fully Charged weekdays on Spin 103.8 with Emma, Dave and Aisling.
Make your winter even sweeter with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. My Mochi is deliciously creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, soft dough. It comes in fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream. My Mochi ice cream tastes like an indulgent treat, but it's only around 70 calories per piece, and it's gluten-free. Look for the purple box of My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a store near you.